This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and on the show today, harpist Ann Young, who is actually bringing with her another harpist who will play for us, Chen-Yu Wang. This is having to do with next week's summer harp class at the University of Illinois and its associated concerts. Also on the show towards the end of the program, Centennial High School junior Ashley Mondisa, who recently advanced to the national competition for an NAACP-sponsored drama event, and she's going to be headed off to New York City next month for the next stage in that competition. We will hear from her and her speech teacher on the show today. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. So on Live and Local today, our guest is Ann Young, who is professor of harp at the University of Illinois, and she is hosting and teaching a summer harp class as she has done for the last few years. She's brought along with her one of her students, Chen-Yu Wang, who is going to be one of several performers in one, two, three, four, five different concerts that the public can attend. If you are a harpist and you want to get into the harp class, I think that's too bad because it's closed, according to the website. But it's been something that's been going on for a while, and we were pleased to have the chance to have Ann and Chen-Yu come on the show. So thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
I think the folks in the lobby enjoyed seeing you unveil the harp down there as you were tuning things. How much time? I'm going to give my first question here to Chen-Yu. How much time do you have to spend tuning this instrument?
My harp actually stay in tune pretty good, so I can tune it in 5 minutes. But for some school harps, I have to tune in like 50 minutes sometimes. But
Anne's jaw has just dropped. It's too bad it's not television. She's feeling offended that the school harps need to be tuned. Is that it?
Oh, I'm just teasing her. Actually, we're very lucky to have some very fine instruments. But she is right, because when you have to play the harps with the orchestra, of course, you have to make sure that they're really in tune with each other and also with the ensemble. So sometimes you have to really make sure it's tuned in the right key. So that does take some time. And Jenny's great about making sure that the instruments are in tune. Yes.
But you also have this brand new harp.
Right. It's less than a year, I think. Yeah.
And so this is your very own?
Mm-hmm.
And you... Again, this is too bad it's not television, because we would put the camera on the pedals of the harp, because since this is your baby, you have done something interesting to the pedals, which is what?
I put baby booties on my pedals so that the pedals can keep clean and intact. And people, and also my classmate will know that this is my harp. Don't touch them.
Yeah, you can't. Nobody else has baby booties on the harp.
Nope.
So they won't. I would imagine a harp would be difficult to steal, though.
That's true.
It would be fairly obvious if you saw somebody hauling off with one of these things. Well, Anne, tell us about the harp class, the general principle behind it, how long it's been going on, and what are your goals with it?
Well, it started in 2003 as out of the Office of Outreach from the School of Music, just as an idea for students of all ages and levels to be able to come and visit the campus and get to have an intensive experience, you know, both performing and listening to other harpists and the chance to meet other harpists. So the idea is that they come here with pieces that are prepared, that we perform for each other, give comments on, and then at the end of the week, on the Saturday night performance, they'll all perform one piece on a participant's recital. And so it's just a good way for them to sort of get that exposure and experience. We also have what we call a harp jam, where each year we've put together a harp ensemble in about 2 days, and then those who want to perform in it, we rehearse for 2 days, and then we perform the piece on a final concert. And so this year we have a new piece that has been written for us by Julia K. Jameson called Between My Balloon and Me. Oops, I think I got the title
Between
wrong.
My Balloon and the Moon.
The Moon, yes. It's that new. Between My Balloon and the Moon, which will premiere on Saturday night. And I believe there's 15 harpists who have decided to join up, and we'll see what happens, but should be
but
fun.
But there's not 15 different harp parts in the piece.
No, but there are 4 separate harp parts, and she's written some very fun effects, interesting effects, you know, sometimes playing the harp with a wire string, with an alligator clip, which is, for those electricians out there, those are the little things that hold wires together. It makes a very interesting kind of a gong-like sound, so should be pretty fun.
So enhanced, what do they call them, enhanced performance techniques or something like that?
Sort of like, yeah, prepared harp and paper sounds and things. So there will be 4 separate parts with some parts doubled by, you know, maybe 3 to 5 harpists.
And Julia Jameson is one of your former students.
Yeah, she actually, I believe you could have just heard her, I think, last Sunday night on Prairie Performances. She played the Debussy Dances with the Danville Symphony on Roger Cooper's program. She finished her master's here in 2002, and a wonderful teacher and performer. Just was awarded the university's teaching award for excellence in undergraduate education this past spring. So, and she's principal harpist of the Illinois Symphony. So she performs quite frequently in the central Illinois region and is our president of our local harp chapter, which we just had a recital on Sunday.
No kidding. So how many people are in the local harp chapter? How many harpists are there around here? I can think of several myself, but...
Yeah, it'd be surprising. There's actually quite a few, and harpists of all different backgrounds. Some young students. There's a wonderful program started at New Generation with young students. So there's at least, I would say, 4 to 5 people teaching and performing just within this area, and then a lot of students of all different ages and levels.
So the people coming to the harp class are from quite a number of different places.
Right. Some are from this region, from some of the local teachers. A lot are from throughout the Midwest. And some of them, for example, one of the young ladies performing on Friday afternoon, Molly O'Rourke from Cordova, Tennessee. She's been coming since the very beginning, from the very first harp class. We actually have a young lady coming from Singapore this year as a participant. So it's a really nice and exciting chance for them to just get to meet other harpists and get to be heard and, you know, to perform for others.
And you have even some very young students from this area who are going to be participating as well.
Right. I can't remember, but I believe maybe the youngest participant this year might be 11. We do have a young boy coming this year as well. I believe, I can't remember his age, so but he's either 11 or 12, you know, coming from Indiana. So,
well, I was glad to see that there's at least one male harpist on one of your recitals. It's heavily populated by females. Actually, the harp world has always, it's more of a stereotype somehow that women play the harp.
Well, you know, that's always a funny thing because yet there is this idea, and it gets kind of reinforced because you see it on angelic greeting cards and things. But the harp world is a very diverse place. I mean, in Latin America, the harps down there, which is not the concert harp you hear in an orchestra here, it's played almost exclusively by men. Although these days, with so much global exchange, you know, people of any gender are starting to study those instruments. And you can find the harp in almost every culture in some sort of form, maybe not the one we expect in the orchestra or on a recording. But so it's a pretty diverse world, but it's a fun world. Meet some very interesting people.
Well, why don't we have a little fun by hearing the harp played for us here on Live and Local. This program is your connection to local music, and we are talking about the summer harp class at the University of Illinois that is happening next week, June 11th through the 13th, just 3 days, so lots of classes going on during the day. but then several recitals that the public can attend at the U of I campus, and we'll run those down for you a little later on. But the first of those recitals, the opening concert, next Thursday, the 11th at 7:30, is going to be in the recital hall of Smith Memorial Hall. And the harpist is Chen Yu Huang, who is here in the studio with us. And you're going to be playing something from that recital?
Yes, I'm playing the first piece on my recital, and it's called Prelude from Classical Suite for Harp Alone by Lynn Palmer.
Okay. Chen Yu Huang performing on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Chen Yu Huang performing on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and she is going to be playing that piece and a number of others on a recital next Thursday, June the 11th, the opening concert of the summer harp class at the University of Illinois with Ann Young. Ann Young is a multi-prize winner and the harp professor at the University of Illinois, and I did not realize this, chair of the string division. This is silly. I don't think of the harpist as a string instrument, but of course it is. Usually think of violins and violas and cellos. What was the name of that piece, Chen Yu?
It is Prelude from Classical Suite for Harp Alone by Lynn Palmer.
Lynn Palmer?
Yeah.
And we'll hear a little bit more of that later on the show, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are very curious about the harp. It's a fascinating instrument. It's beautiful to look at. It's beautiful to listen to. And a little earlier, Anne, you actually alluded to what must be many different stereotypes about the harp. You said that the angelic greeting card or something. Is that what you said?
Right. Yes.
So what are some other stereotypes of harps and harpists that harpists have to contend with?
Oh, well, we've always heard the famous quote, spending half the time tuning and the other time performing out of tune.
I haven't heard that one, actually.
Oh, well.
But
oh,
it's a good one, whether it's true or not.
Yes, well, I think what's interesting about the harp is that there's for a concert pedal harp, which is what you just heard and what you hear in orchestras, there's 47 strings, and each of them have to be individually tuned. And then there are 7 pedals, which Jen, you mentioned she's got little baby booties on her pedals, and the pedals actually change the pitch of the strings. So it's a little different than like a piano, which actually changes the sound that you hear. So you kind of have to coordinate that. But like I said, there's all sorts of different harps. I think that's some of the stereotypes there. But there's some nice stereotypes. Harpists are what?
Oh, beautiful, I guess.
are beautiful?
By some of the musicians in our school, they say that our harp studio is the most beautiful studio.
Is that so?
That's a good stereotype, I guess.
There are many much worse that one could have. I used to
well, I'm
have.
I'm glad to hear that.
In the area where I was in Pennsylvania, at least at the time that I was performing, there were a few harpists around, and all of them had the fairly deserved reputation of being fairly ditzy, which was kind of weird. So I developed that personal stereotype, and then when I moved out here and met many other harpists, I thought, well, that's certainly not always true. But how do you think the whole angelic thing came up? Who decided that angels play harps, I wonder?
Well, you know, actually, I investigated this in my own doctoral work in my final project, and I kind of posited the idea that that was something that got really solidified in sort of the Victorian era and with the French nobility in the 19th century. But, of course, you can find King David playing his harp, you know, in the Bible, but that was a powerful instrument. But I think just, you know, about maybe 200 years ago, it's easy to forget that actually the concert harp we're hearing today wasn't really built until like 1810. You know, it was sort of evolving up to that point. And then at that type, you know, it was a wonderfully ornate instrument, and young ladies would use it to display their, you know, beautiful limbs or their talents, you know, at that time. So you had sort of this separation between the reality of a harpist and then the idea of a harpist, you know. And it is a very artistic instrument, I feel, because, you know, it's something that we sort of embrace, and it's really immediate, you know, when we play it. You know, our fingers are actually really making the sound right as we strike the strings. So,
well, and just even, I mean, you referred to harpists showing off their beautiful limbs, which you get to do because they sort of flow over the instrument, particularly if you're doing glissandos or other gestures like that, which is a very stereotypical sound from the harp. What is particularly difficult to play about the harp?
Well, I think it's not always realized, but it takes a lot of strength to play this instrument, actually, both coordination and strength. I mean, the tension on the strings is quite strong. You know, there's over about 2,000 pounds of pressure on a soundboard. So if you meet any sort of harpist that's practicing a lot, you'll find they have these really big calluses on their fingertips just so they don't get blisters or other things, you know, in order to produce the sound on the string. You know, other thing is that they have to be able to coordinate their feet on the concert pedal harp to get the correct pitches. So I think that's something maybe that it should look easy and sound easy, but it can be a very dynamic and difficult instrument. Like nowadays, you actually can find the harp in, you know, rock bands, and there's electroacoustic harps, you know, so it's kind of breaking out of that sort of idealized stereotype of the harp. But of course, you know, people really do enjoy, you know, beautiful harp music, and there is something soothing about it too. You know, there's a lot of things being done these days with music studies, so it's got a lot of different sides to it, I think.
The first time I heard a harp up close, I remember being surprised by the fact that there were pedals, because, you know, when you see it at a distance, you don't know what anyone's feet are doing, because you watch the arms. and that when you have a piece that requires a lot of pedaling, you hear the pedals mm-hmm. sort of clunking a little bit, which reminded me the first time I saw a ballet up close. I was right. just astounded at how noisy it is. Mm-hmm. Now, the harp is nothing like that, but, you know, you at a ballet, you see all these women with their wooden-toed shoes clunking around on the mm-hmm. on the stage. So it's really fascinating to watch up close, particularly when there is something with active pedal work, because, as you said, there, people aren't aware mm-hmm. of that going on, and it sure looks hard to me. I mean, unless you know what's going on, of course, it's a complete mystery. We're talking with Ann Young, who is professor of harp at the University of Illinois and teaches the summer harp class, which is coming up next week with some affiliated performances. Chen Yu Huang is one of the performers giving the opening concert. She's with us also, and we'll hear from her again in just a moment. Who are some of the other folks who are going to be playing recitals next week?
Well, on Friday evening, there will be Jingyi Zhang, who just finished her doctorate here at the University of Illinois. She's an International Prize winner, wonderful harpist, and she's coming back to perform the recital on Friday night in the Memorial Room at 7:30 p.m., and she is going to be performing a piece with a lot of pedals, a famous piece actually by Gabriel Fauré, since you mentioned that. It's actually based on a poem by Paul Verlaine. It's a beautiful work about Un Châtelain en Satur, you know, so, and a lot of other famous works. In the afternoon recitals, we have some exciting teen talents. Friday afternoon at noon in the Music Building Auditorium, that's the 12th, we have both Rebecca Wallen and Molly O'Rourke, who are returning to perform some famous pieces for harp. And then on Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m., again in the Music Auditorium, we have 12-year-old Chelsea Balmer, who has been selected to compete in the finals of our national competition performing, and as well as Peter Wong, who is going to be a sophomore at the university, and he'll be playing a couple works, including a concerto, which Jen Yu, here in the studio, is actually going to be performing the piano part with him on Saturday.
So. And she's playing also for Jingyi Zhang's recital as well.
Right. So she'll be a busy lady next week. She'll perform Thursday night on the harp, and then if you love that, you can hear her on Friday and Saturday on the piano.
So, Jen Yu, how do you find time to get good at both of those very different instruments?
I actually don't practice piano as much. I had a bachelor degree in piano performance, and so but when I come to graduate, I decide I really want to play the harp and piano. Well, I still take piano lesson each week, but I can only just touch them a little bit. Not as much as harp.
Because Anne here is
because I major
insisting that you practice endless hours. How long have you played both piano and harp simultaneously for most of your life, or what point did you pick up the harp?
I started in piano when I was 4 years old, and harp, I didn't play the harp until I was 12.
So you just got started at the point where this young Chelsea Balmer is going to mm-hmm. be, is already entering a competition. So in a way, that's a late start compared to some harpists.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
And here you are. Are you in the doctoral program or the master's program?
Doctoral program.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we hear you play a little bit more? This is another movement from the suite by Lynn Palmer?
Yes. This is the Quran by Lynn Palmer.
This is Chen Yu Huang on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thank you. It was fascinating to watch you play. I've not often watched a harpist really up close. And in addition to plucking the instrument, you spend, at least in that piece anyway, quite a bit of time of damping the strings with your with one hand. You pluck and then you damp and pluck and damp. Why?
Well, you know, the harp, the moment you pluck the string, that causes a sound, but you can't sustain it. So either it'll keep ringing or it'll stop ringing. So for clarity, so things become more clear, we do a lot of damping, you know, just to make sure that the musical line comes out, you know, or things that you want to bring out in the music. You know, it's almost like on a piano, you can voice it sometimes with the pedaling you can hear. And Janyu is such a strong piano background, which is what a lot of harpists from Taiwan are, because like Jingyi herself, who's also performing on Friday night, they both were piano performance majors in Taiwan. They have this wonderful training, and so they kind of apply that, you know, when they're performing on the harp, you know, so it's not just performing it as a harp piece, but it's like a musical piece, and that's part of what the damping does. It's sort of making it come alive a little bit more.
Well, and I would think that's sort of one of the hidden techniques that one has to learn that nobody who doesn't play the harp knows about, is that, mm-hmm. you know, I saw you doing it, but it didn't make noise when you're hitting not hitting the side of the screen. Anyway, it was...
Strive for that.
Huh?
We strive for that.
That's what I was thinking, that it's one of those things you have to learn how to do, and it's a necessity, but you don't want it to get in the way if anybody's listening. So that was Chenyu Huang performing a movement from a suite by Lynn Palmer, which she will play in its entirety along with other things next Thursday. And we do want to emphasize that the harp class that we're talking about is not tomorrow, but starts Thursday, June the 11th. The class itself is closed, correct?
Yes, we have actually 18 participants this year. I mean, but people can still audit the classes if they'd like to register for that. But the performances are all open to the public, and we'd love for people to come and just get to hear some of these wonderful performances, you know.
Well, it's fun to hear. It'll be particularly fun on Saturday in the evening to hear so many harps all at once.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how they're all going to squeeze into this onto the stage at the Music Building Auditorium.
Well,
it's
every year
tight.
Is an adventure, but so far my trusty assistants, they've done this wonderful ballet of moving harps back and forth and getting it set up. But yeah, Saturday night is very exciting. It might be a long concert, but it's a different performer for every piece, and they come out and, you know, it's their special time when they perform, so it's a lot of fun to hear.
And that'll be the full range of participants, whether it's the 12-year-old who mm-hmm. will have played a recital that day,
mm-hmm.
or
all
what's the
up,
oldest person? Who
all the way up to postgraduate students, you know, some that have finished, you know, both diplomas or graduate degrees. So, and then the final piece is the piece that we'll put together in 2 days, the harp ensemble piece by Julia Jameson.
With the wonderful title of Between My Balloon and the Moon. Do you have any idea what that means?
Well, it's sort of what, you know, you can imagine a balloon in the sky and just that image. It's written for a one-year-old, and so we hope that we'll make him like it on Saturday.
It's written for a one-year-old?
Yes. Uh-huh. I mean, not to play, but to enjoy.
Right.
It was inspired by a
particular one-year-old?
Yes, a Roger. So hopefully he can be in attendance.
So are harpists competitive?
Well, some are, but I think to be a harpist, especially the ones who take it to that level, they have this inner sort of desire and inspiration. And those who are actually really working professionally at that level, they're sort of like their own sort of mini business, because you really have to be both on top of your professional dealings with people, but also your playing. So it just depends, though. I think it just depends on the person and what they want to do. You know?
I was just thinking, just having all of these harpists together, you know, mm-hmm. are they all going to be watching each other and say, ooh, she's so good, or he's not as good as I am, or I'm going to... Because we're talking about stereotypes earlier, mm-hmm. and different instruments
mm-hmm.
have stereotypes like that, like what the personalities of some of these folks are like?
Well, for me, and that's part of what this class is, a really strong thing that I believe in, both in the regular instruction at a university and for this class, I really believe that I don't encourage that. I encourage them to find their own personal standard that they want to get better at, because you'll never be the best at everything for everyone. There's always going to be someone that you can admire, that they trill faster, they're just got easier technique, or maybe you have a better sound. So for me, it's really important for them to come here and get exposed and just see, you know, what's out there, so they can have a better idea of, you know, where they are, what they might want to be doing. There's a wonderful quote from a former harp teacher that I heard, that she told the student, like, that you don't know enough to know how little you don't know, you know, which I think it's so true, you know, that you really, they don't realize yet how much they don't know, and the more they learn, the more they kind of realize, and they can appreciate what other people are doing as well as their own. So that's something I stress really importantly in this class, that they have to be able to appreciate what other people are doing, but also have their own inspiration, so they'll want to, you know, learn and perform and do more things and give back to the harp world, because the harp world can be a very supportive place, you know. There's not so many of us.
So it's not just learning how to play the harp, it's learning how to be a harpist and a musician and a person.
Well, I hope so. That's important to me. I mean, everyone takes as much or as little as they want, you know. There's all you can hope is that they learn to teach themselves eventually.
It's not all written in the course description, but it shows up in the sessions.
Right. That's secretly not on the class thing, but once they come here, they'll get
we've just spilled the secret. We've been talking with Ann Young, who is professor of harp at the University of Illinois, and leading the summer harp class at the U of I next week, the 11th through the 13th, that's Thursday through Saturday. And also with us today performing has been Chen Yu Huang, who's giving the opening concert at the end of the first day of the class. It's at 7:30 on the 11th in the recital hall of Smith Memorial Hall. And then other recitals on Friday in the afternoon at noon, and then at in the evening, and then Saturday the 13th, also in the afternoon, and the big participants recital in the evening. Is there a website that folks can find out the full schedule and anything else they might like to know about the harp class? And
Yes, actually, at the School of Music webpage under the outreach program, there's a little link for the summer harp class. You can download both the concert flyer, which shows all the concerts, and also a brochure, a little bit about the class. You can even see, hear a video from our 2007 class of the harp jam piece, which was Animal Parade by Julia Jameson. So it's www.music.illinois.edu. That'll bring you to the music school webpage. And then if you just click under outreach, which is one of the little banners, and you'll find a link for the summer harp class. Or you can also find it off of my own faculty webpage. So,
yeah, it's pretty easy to negotiate, and you'll find out all you need to know. And I hope that lots of our listeners can go hear the harpists. And I thank both of you for coming on the show today.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
You sound beautiful, Chen Yu, by the way.
Thank you.
It was great to have you. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. And today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Moore Family Farms of Fairmount, Carpet Weavers of Champaign, Provena Medical Group. These business partners join the friends of WYLL in making great programs possible, and we thank you. This is FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Coming up next, Centennial High School junior Ashley Mondisa and her speech coach at the school, Stan Yanchis. Ashley was recently advanced to the national competition for an NAACP-sponsored drama event. She's going to New York City next month. We have her on in just a few minutes. We want to hear first another harp piece. This features one of the soloists from next week's harp concerts. Jing Yi Zhang performed with the University of Illinois Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Donald Schleicher, in November of 2003. It's the first movement we will hear part of, the Harp Concerto by Reinhold Glier, on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thank you. And we'll have to cut out of there. We've got another little segment here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That's harpist Jingyi Zhang from the University of Illinois performing with the UI Symphony Orchestra. From November of 2003 is the first movement of the Harp Concerto by Reinhold Glier. Donald Schleicher was conducting, and you heard it here on FM 90.9. Quick look at our events calendar. Just a couple of items I want to highlight. Tonight at 8 o'clock, the Fuchsia Band, which is the Irish group we featured on yesterday's show, will be performing at the Heartland Gallery in downtown Urbana. That's 8 o'clock tonight. At noon tomorrow, a program called Passion to Dance. It's a free program at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute at Carl Clinic in Urbana in the main campus on University Avenue. And we'll give a more extensive calendar on tomorrow's show as we get closer to the weekend, and there's lots going on there. The programs today on FM 90.9 are made possible by the Illinois Shakespeare Festival, presenting A Midsummer Night's Dream, Richard II, The Tempest, and Scapin, which I'm probably saying wrong, from June 25th through August 8th at the Ewing Manor in Bloomington. More information online at thefestival.org. That's thefestival.org or 309-438-8110.
And I'll move the mountains if I have to hold up the sky. Crazy, he calls me. Sure, I'm crazy, crazy in love. Am I?
Billie Holiday, Crazy He Calls Me, from October of 1949. Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, we played Billie Holiday because Billie Holiday is the focus of a little drama piece that Centennial High School junior Ashley Mondisa has devised in collaboration with her speech coach at the school, Stan Yanchis. Ashley is participating in a competition, a national competition sponsored by the NAACP. It has a very long, short acronym for a long name, the Afro-American Cultural, Technological, and Scientific Olympics, which is a major youth initiative of the NAACP. And she has advanced in that competition, and Ashley is with us, so is Mr. Yanchis here on Live and Local. Thanks to both of you for coming in.
You're welcome, Kim. I'm glad to be here.
We've been looking forward to this ever since I happened to see this press release from the school. Congratulations, Ashley, in making it this far. And you're going to New York City next month?
Yes, I am. I'm going to New York City to compete in dramatics in the NAACP AXO competition.
And that's the acronym, which is so much easier to say than that whole bunch of words I rattled off. What did you have to do to get to this point?
I had to compete against local students around Champaign-Urbana, Rantoul. The competition was actually at Rantoul High School in Rantoul, and I had to get a 96 to go to nationals.
96 is a grading system of some kind?
It's a score that you have to get in order to go to nationals.
96 out of 100?
1 to 96, yes.
1 to 96. So that sounds awfully good to me. You must have done very well. So in order to do – what was the piece – tell us about the piece that you did and how you came up with it.
The piece I did was called Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill by Lainey Robertson. And it's a piece about Billie Holiday and her struggle with her addiction with heroin. And I put this piece into 8 minutes for the Illinois High School Speech Team Competition. And for the NAACP AXO, I put it into 5 minutes to portray Billie Holiday's addiction.
So the original piece is a full evening's play, is that right?
Yes, it is actually a full play that you can actually do on stage, but I condensed it down.
And you haven't yet attempted to do the whole piece?
I haven't attempted to do the whole piece. I only took parts, important parts, and put them together to so I can portray it in 8 minutes or 3 to 5 minutes.
So what was the process you had to go through to take this large piece and turn it into an effective smaller piece? I mean, turning a whole play into 8 or even worse 5 minutes sounds like an incredible undertaking.
Well, I had to take the important part for the beginning, and I have to take the ending, and I put it together. And then for the middle pieces, we take important sections of the play that link together so I can affect the audience of the whole play within the small play.
And there were many songs in the original play as well, right?
Yes, a couple would be God Bless the Child and Strange Fruit.
And you're actually going to do for us a segment of this in a little while, including one of those songs.
Yes,
which,
I am.
Which I'm really looking forward to because I've seen you, I've told you this, I've seen you in two plays, musicals, both of them sponsored by the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, their annual student production, and Ragtime was the first one. Remind me the name of the character that you played in there.
My character was Sarah.
Opposite Cole House Walker.
Cole House Walker, yes.
Yeah. And you were wonderful in that. I also told you I sat behind your parents, as I figured out, but I won't explain that whole story. I figured out that they were your parents from their reaction to what was going on stage. And then you had this very funny role in Bye Bye Birdie, which was that was last year's student production, I think, for
yes,
CUTC.
It was, last summer.
Yes, Ashley played this kind of crazy old lady with the largest butt I've ever seen. an interesting costume butt. What's different for you doing mostly a spoken piece, you know, kind of a speech or an acting job, as opposed to doing a musical?
In a musical, there is a lot of more blocking on stage. So blocking as in moving around more, whereas in DI, which is dramatic interpretation and speech team, I did the Billie Holiday piece Standing Still. And for NAACP AXO, they actually want me to move around. So now it's a lot different, but different in a good way where I can span my horizons, where I can have the experience of standing still and also performing it, moving around.
Well, I would think your musical experience in musical theater would really help with that.
It does a lot. I can't tell you how many people come up to me and go, "You have a lot of expression." Like, well, it's a lot of practice. I wouldn't say that it's something that you can just stand up and do. It's something that you practice, and being in other musicals also helps me practice for something like speech team or dramatics in NAACP.
Well, Ashley, we're going to let you get set up. You have to readjust the microphone a little bit to do the segment of the piece. And let me, in the meantime, talk to your teacher, Mr. Yanchis, Stan Yanchis. What exactly do you teach at Centennial?
I'm an English teacher. I teach also creative writing and public speaking, and I teach a range of English classes. I'm at the moment teaching senior English literature classes.
So in about 45 seconds, what has been your role in helping Ashley through this competition?
Well, we have a pretty dynamic speech team. I've been coaching for 21, 22 years now at Centennial, and speech team is really a misnomer. It encompasses really two broad areas, public speaking as we would traditionally know it, and it also encompasses performance, interpretation, which is what Ashley does that brings in original comedy. We have people like a young man named Vince Dill, who's up in Chicago now doing some Second City work. Your own Rita Schulte's daughter, Jessica Schulte, was a state championship for us. And what my role was with Ashley was I saw the piece, I knew it would be a good one for her, shared it, and she worked and did all to bring it to where it is now.
Well, we have just about enough time to hear a little segment. You're going to give an introduction, I believe, and let us know kind of the context. This is Ashley Mondisa, who's a Centennial High School junior here on FM 90.9.
In this performance, it portrays the addiction of heroin that Billie Holiday had in her struggle throughout this addiction. The performance that I'm about to give you is the last minute or so of the performance, Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill by Lainey Robertson. You know what I want? I want a beautiful home. And I want some kids, and I want to cook. I want something else. A club. My own club where I can sing to all my friends. It'll be very nice and very cozy. But junkies don't get their own clubs. But I can still sing, and I'ma sing for y'all. Just one more time. God bless the child that's got his own. That's got his own. Thank you.
And thank you. I'd love to hear the whole rest of the thing. Hear and see. I was actually trying not to watch you too much because as soon as you started to talk, it had moved into Billie Holiday instead of Ashley Mondisa. Right away, started to tear up. I mean, there's an emotional quality in her performance. Just that tiny little segment.
It's an incredible performance to take a 90-minute play and do it in 5 to 8 minutes and give an audience that feel is unbelievable.
And where did she start when you first saw her?
Oh, actually, I encouraged Ashley, and she came out speaking when she was a sophomore. I saw her on stage at Centennial. She's always been involved in a variety of plays. And she has a charisma. She has a love of music. She has a love of language. And her work ethic, as I shared with you before we came on air, Kevin, she works all the time. She rehearses and practices and takes every nuance. And one thing that I would just share with the audience about her also, she also spends a lot of time with people who aren't as talented as she is, working hard with them to help them also perform.
And you've come a long way so far. What are your ambitions?
My ambitions? Well, I'm going to be a senior next fall, and I want to major in musical theater and minor in communications. And I have 4 colleges lined up: NYU in New York, Millikan, Northwestern, and ISU. And my ambition someday is to be on stage on Broadway, and hopefully after I retire to teach in the drama department at a college.
Those are some pretty strong departments. I went to Northwestern, so I'd root for that. But I've heard great things about the NYU. That's one of the top theater departments in the country, I believe.
Absolutely. And I would really be remiss, Kevin, if I didn't mention that Ashley also has had tremendous choral director with Marion Wyatt at Centennial, and Suzanne Aldridge, our drama director, super.
Ashley and Stan Yanchis, thank you very much for coming on the show. Ashley Mondisa has just finished her junior year. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
At Centennial High School, and is going on to New York City for the finals of the NAACP Act So Drama Competition. That's Afro-American Cultural, Technological, and Scientific Olympics with her Billie Holiday piece. And that is quite an achievement. Good luck in the competition.
Thank you very much.
This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and the program comes to you on WYLL 90.9 FM and HD Urbana. We operate translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana. It's going to be cloudy and cooler this afternoon with occasional rain, the high around 60, mostly cloudy tonight, the low 47, and mostly sunny tomorrow with a high around 70.